First of all, I'd like to thank Alexander for being baptized today, which means my homily is only going to be a few minutes rather than what you usually get. So you can all thank him too. So. In the gospel today, Jesus does what he does quite often. He tells a parable. And in telling the parable, he's trying to make a point. And he was always a good teacher, and he always did it in various ways. And this was a parable about a man who things were going well for. He had lots of food. Everything was going well, and he sat back and said, well, I should make bigger and better and more things. And he did. And as Jesus was pointing this out in the parable, he thought to himself, this guy should know better. I mean, he's got it made. Everything is going his way. But he's not thinking. And so Jesus uses a word he doesn't often use in the scriptures. You fool, he said. You fool. You can build all you want, have all you want. This very day, God is going to ask for your soul. And all that money, all that stuff you have stored up, whose will it be then? And we know if you don't have a will, it could be a big problem. However, that was the question. So Jesus is really calling him out. He's not putting him down, but he's calling him out and challenging him to think. And there's a little bit of a lesson there for each of us. Today in our society, we often are very fond of our possessions. We collect things. We save up and we buy things. Very much what I want. I go to the mall, I see it. If I can afford it, I buy it. Whether I needed it or not was another question. But I have it. It makes me feel good. And so I have bigger and newer and fancier. In our world today, in the economy in which we live in, one of the fastest growing businesses is storage lockups. We have so much stuff, we don't know what we have. So we'll buy Rubbermaid bins, put the stuff in the bins, drive it to the lockup, and then 3 months later we forget, oh, did we have that? Didn't we have it? Oh, I don't want to go all the way over there and open the drawer and go, oh, I'll just buy another one, you know? And we kind of get caught into that cycle. Don't know about your house, but in our house we have a box, and we've had every computer cord that we ever had since the first computer. You know, it may come in handy someday at some time, or I might get an old one, you never know, you know. Or we have every CDs of every collection of everybody that ever sang, good, bad, or indifferent. Or we have clothes, one size down, one size up, and the current size, you know. And so, I'm not saying any more about that, but you know, we like to hoard things, we like to have things. Yeah, and we know that we're supposed to be charitable. We know that we're supposed to help others, you know. A gentleman came to see me for some counseling a few years ago, and he said, I'm having relationship problems. I can never seem to go anywhere in my relationship. So I asked him the question, what's your philosophy of life? Oh, he said, that's simple. He said, I really believe that those who have the most toys win the game. And I said, you share the toys? No. I said, that's the problem with the relationship. It's all about me, me, and more me. Not so long ago, our son came through, and he was looking, and, you know, we have an awful lot of stuff we don't need either, but we have a few things we really like, and he looked at this stuff and said, don't be saving that for me, I don't want that stuff. And I thought, oh, this is important stuff, this is our stuff, what do you mean you don't want it? And so we have to kind of say what it is, and who we are, and how we use our worldly goods. I have a really good friend who years ago, I visited him in his apartment. In the apartment, he had this big sign. It was the 80s and 90s when everybody had these big posters hung up. And this one said, if some is good, more has to be better. And you know, we have kind of taken that in. And I don't believe for a minute there's not one person here who isn't generous. We're all generous. We all give in a certain way. But sometimes we also like to control how we give. Oh, I see a street person. I'll give them a voucher because that would be healthy and they could go and get vegetables. I'll give them a $10 voucher, and then I'll be sure of what they're going to get, and it'll be safe, and my conscience will be clear, and they will do that, rather than say, I'm going to give them a $10 bill, and it's a gift. Oh, God, $10 bill, and it's a gift? What might they do with it? Well, what would you do with a gift? Somebody gave me $10, I know what I'd do with it, you know? And it might not be to go buy zucchini at Thrifty's, okay? Or kale, for that matter. So, you know, I was downtown two summers ago, and there was a guy sitting at the side of the road, as they do, and he had his hat out, and he was looking for money. It was an exceptionally hot day. And most people say, I just want money, or some say, I want money for coffee. But he said, I want money for cold beer. I said, that's honest, here's $5. I don't normally do that. But why shouldn't he have a cold beer like the rest of us? But you know, when it comes to giving, we like to control. I am seeing a couple right at the moment, and they got married, and they started out in life, didn't have very much. They managed to get themselves into a condo. They had a baby, nice little chap. And then they found out they were pregnant again, so they had to move out of the condo. So they were invited to come and live in the parents' basement, which may or may not have been a good idea, but they did. And then the mother said, we are going to help you buy a house. So they got quite excited because they had the money from the sale of the condo. And the mother said, we're going to give you so many $1,000s, and we're going to help you buy a house. And over 6 months, they looked at 22 houses. And the mother didn't like one of them, so they're still in the mother's basement. So she was going to give the money, but she was going to control the shots. You know, that's not really giving. Sometimes we are invited, we see street people. And, you know, or people say, I'm hungry, or I'd like to have something. It's easy to say, well, go to our place, they'll feed you. Once in a while, we'll take somebody and say, let's go to McDonald's, because we know that for $8, $10, they can get something pretty decent. And that's good that you did that. But sometimes you should try and say, let's go to White Spot. Oh, God, it starts at $20 there. What do you mean? I was only planning to spend 10. And 20 for you and 20 for them, that's $40. That's a treat. That's being generous. And so, again, we have to say, what do we do with our time? What do we do with our money? What do we do with our possessions? I was in a parish about 12 years ago, and one of the values of this parish was to promote life from the beginning to the end, and they were very much pro-life. And there was a wonderful organization in that city called Birthright, and they were trying to help mothers that were keeping the children. We applauded that, we thought that was very good. And so I came to the parish, and they were asking for help, and everybody was happy to give $20 for diapers, $20 for formula, you know, or whatever else, a little teddy bear. That was very nice. But some of these mothers needed a place to live because they couldn't afford an apartment. And so they were asking, and it came to me to ask the people in the parish of 80 families and about 140 or 50 single people who had apartments and flats. I said, would anybody here take one of these women in for 3 or 4 months until she came to term to promote our values of pro-life? And we didn't get one. And that was very interesting, that very often we espouse certain values. We say, oh yes, I believe this, but we don't always put our whole selves in. You know, it's like the old story about giving between the chicken and the egg. You know, the chicken always gives some excess. The pig has to give from the essence, you know. So he gives of himself if he's going to give anything. So we have to think about, what do we have? How do we use it? And are we good stewards to what we have? Makes me think of a story. So today is the splash. Some of you will go to the splash. Some of you will stay home from the splash and say, it'll be just as good. You know, I have a lovely CD of that collection that I have that goes on and on and on and on and on. And in there I have Tchaikovsky, and it's got the 1812 overture. So I'm going to sit with a cold drink on my comfortable chair, and at the same time, I will push press, and I will be in unity with the 45,000 people who are hot and sweaty, getting mosquito bitten, listening to it, and I'll have it at the same time in my house. I'm making a decision, you see. And life is about decisions. So let's assume whatever you do today, you go to bed. Or you get ready, you go home. And about 10 o'clock, a knock comes on your door. And there's a policeman there. And he said, yes, your name is whatever, John, Paul, Miranda, Penelope, Jane, whatever your name happens to be. I'm afraid you're under arrest. Well, what did I do? How come I'm under arrest? I didn't go to the splash. I didn't cause anybody. No, you're under arrest. We've been examining your life, and we're going to take you down to the police station, and we're going to charge you. Well, what am I being charged with? You're being charged with being a Christian. Oh. If that indeed happened, how much evidence would there be to convict you? So as you think about this story, and we think about our lives, and how we share time, money, or talents, I mean, we could have five pipe organists out here that we don't know about, because we don't like to talk about what we can do. So it's not just money, it's time, talents, and money. Think about that. If you were arrested, and you had to go into a court of law, could enough of your friends from the community testify on your behalf? The gospel, the man was called a fool. We can be a fool for Christ's sake. That's quite the opposite. That's quite contradictory. To be a fool for Christ's sake is to go to the extremes, to be abandonment, and to be a witness. So I invite you to think about that. Amen.